American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2005. We are now like 2 days into spring. The 21st, I guess, was the first day of spring. It is now the 23rd, which is the same day that I was born. What does it mean? The coincidences are never ending here on Newsreel, which is the name of the show. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And, of course, if not, then if this show doesn't take off, I'll continue my career as a Baptist minister. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which can be found at BaptistMinister.com. No, it's at Sean Kennedy, Sean underscore Kennedy at, no, there's no at, that's an email address. I know this, I'm at Leet Hacksaw. Sean underscore Kennedy.livejournal.com. And you'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, wow, I'm never smoking a cigar again. You know, I had one of those cigars. Remember yesterday I was saying that I was going to smoke that Cohiba Esplendidos. And I know that there's a big deal about cigars. I know people really dig cigars, you know. And it's kind of like some kinds of porn. You know, cigars remind me a lot of different kinds of porn. Now, there's some kinds of porn you can get into, you know, like the French maid thing. You know, you can understand the French maid thing because, you know, it's kind of sexy. They got the skirt there and everything. That's all kind of nice. I can understand the leather fetish thing, I can understand it, you know, but then you get into things like water sports and scat, where I go, wow, why do people like this? I don't understand. And that was sort of how I felt about my cigar experience. I got this Cohiba Esplendidos, according to the web. I went and researched it. I found out how to smoke the thing, because one does not smoke a $30 cigar without, you know, knowing what the hell you're doing. And I lit it with a match. I tried to research as many old movies as I could remember to, and you know what? It sucks. It sucked hard. I didn't like it very much. So maybe I'm doing it wrong, but for those of you out there considering trying cigars, well, I'm here to tell you, I had a cigar brought to me from Cuba. It is one of the top 10 listed internationally, and it still sucked ass. So I'm going to put smoking cigars in with scat in my category of things that I just don't understand. And for your listening entertainment, this is a free radio broadcast. It can be heard on Rant Radio and the Box Music Network. Notice how I didn't say the Music Box Network like I normally do. And if you're not part of Rant Radio or the Box Music Network, don't worry. You are free to re-record this and distribute it any way you see fit. You can put it on BitTorrent. You can put it on any peer-to-peer file sharing software, of which I have some handy-dandy hacks for you today. And you can pretty much give it to Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to your front door, because, hey, they're giving you spam. Why don't you give them some spam back? I think that's a good idea. Moving straight into some feedback today. Dear Sean, I'm aware that not everyone within Rant Media is into cyberpunk. What? But I was rereading Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash, quite probably the greatest cyberpunk novel ever written, for the second time, which, of course. And I couldn't help but notice the parallels between Stevenson's character L. Bob Reif and L. Ron Hubbard. What? First of all, was the name. Of course, it was a big hint that it is not just coincidence. Secondly, was use of drugs. Reif used Snow Crash to bring people under his control. This is in the book. Where Hubbard used Benzedrine in auditing sessions. Isn't that interesting? Another is in Snow Crash. Reif bought an aircraft carrier and went out to sea. And Hubbard bought a cruise liner and went out to sea as the Commodore. And this is all part of his Sea Org and stuff like that. Very interesting when you read chapters of L. Bob Reif in Snow Crash. After reading up on L. Ron Hubbard, just thought you would like to know. And that was from Creativite. I think that's Creativite. Yeah. And that's from Creativites. I mean, that, and you know, I'm kind of, I usually look for trends and little conspiracy theories and tie-ins and stuff like that, but I totally missed that. You know, and it could be argued, well, maybe that's a little too obscure for me even, but hey, I'm not discounting it. I think that's pretty neat. And it's not really, I wouldn't really put it past Neal Stephenson to put something like that in there, because of course he couldn't come out and say that because he's too big now. You know, well, once you get to a certain size, if Stephenson were to take a stand against the great cosmic fucking evil of brainwashing that is, well, most modern religions, but if we were to just take it and, you know, apply it to dangerous, money-hungry, scum-sucking cults like Scientology, of course, you know, they'll stick the lawyers on them. Which, you know, I run that risk myself, of course, but I think it's more important to tell the truth than to seek cover. Sometimes I feel a lot like, you know, Kilgore. But anyway, on to the news. And speaking of Kilgore, holy crap, the coming Red War. The U.S. Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, with her amazing teeth, stepped up the transatlantic row about selling arms to China yesterday in a sharply worded warning to the EU. That the EU, the European Union, should not upset the balance of power in the region, which it has no defense responsibilities. So don't go selling weapons to these people, because you have no defense responsibilities there. Only the United States is allowed to do that, not you. Ms. Rice said Japan and South Korea, Washington's two main allies in East Asia, were also opposed to the EU's plan to lift its weapons ban, a move that could allow China to buy sophisticated European technology for use against their troops. Now, you got to understand, too, that's interesting that they would want these sanctions put in place. But it's not like China doesn't have any weapons, okay? They got a lot of really, really smart people over there. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of technology that we ripped off from China back in the day. Our view is that it is not appropriate, she told the press conference in Seoul yesterday before arriving in Beijing last night. The European Union should do nothing to contribute to the circumstances in which China's military modernization draws on European Union technology. It is the United States, not Europe, that has defended the Pacific. Jesus, they're really making friends, eh? Her comments, by far the sternest admonition by a U.S. official, suggest the White House is gearing up for diplomatic fight to maintain the embargo, which was imposed after Chinese government sent tanks and troops to clear democracy demonstrations from in and around Tiananmen Square in 1989. For those of us who don't remember Tiananmen Square, Beijing's communist leaders have never expressed remorse for the hundreds of their citizens killed or held a public investigation of who is to blame for Tiananmen Square, because they don't really give a shit because, well, they're a communist government and they can just do what they want. Which, of course, that's not to say that our capitalist government wouldn't just be able to do what they want, because quite apparently we can't change shit either, so, you know, government's government. American concern about the implications of Europe revising its policy has raised the prospect of a trade war between the EU and the U.S. You know, I mean, we're pissing off enough people around the world right now anyways. So this Fortress America concept, which seems to be getting really, really more prevalent in day-to-day life, I don't really know how good that's going to be, you know? I mean, how many allies do we have left? If you start pissing off the EU as well, dude, you know, at least they're not talking about sending troops in. You know, if they're just going to piss these people off, that would be the best-case scenario, provided they don't start saying, oh, well, we're going to fight for democracy against China, because I'm so against that, that's not even funny. As well, there's so much fucking war going. Am I the only one who, I mean, maybe we're just more aware of it, or maybe I'm just a victim of the programming like everyone else is, but, I mean, it does seem like the tensions are running pretty high on the little blue marble right now, doesn't it? It does seem that way. It seems like everything's kind of getting a little bit psycho, maybe? You know, like, maybe everyone should just, you know, maybe we should, if there was some way, instead of global warming, we could make, like, the world's biggest bong and just, like, stone the entire planet for, you know, just a couple of days. Just to bring it down a few notches, you know? Everybody's, like, sounds like everyone's got their hands on guns, everybody's getting real excited, you know? Everyone's screwing on silencers and torturing people, which is required. I mean, you do have to get information in times of war and all the rest of it, but I mean, this is something that I do find a little bit disturbing from time to time when you look out and see that everyone's, you know, gearing up for some major global conflict. I like to, you know, step that back a bit. And as I'm sure that there's a whole lot of soldiers who would agree with me there, because they're not really into, you know, starting major land wars with Asia. And it doesn't really matter if you've got enough war-torn nations, eventually all the war fronts kind of slur together. Then you wind up with Balkanization, and then you have radical faction groups trying to seize power and land during the Balkanization process. And this is, you know, if you check history about how that, like, look at what happened in Bosnia. The whole fucking nation just shattered into a billion pieces. So you got to be careful with this. I mean, careful what you wish for. You might think that this war is going to do one thing, but it never really turns out the way you want it to. I mean, some people, you know, there's those who have looked at history and the vast scheme of things to say it's growing pains, it can't be avoided. But for me, you know, I try to avoid war as much as possible. Sort of a you know, personal guideline. And I guess I fell asleep at the switch. My bad. I got a story here about stuff you could have done but is now gone. A trio of zero-day shopping, which was 2 days ago, a trio of independent programmers had released new software that allows people to tap into Apple's computer's iTunes music store and purchase songs free of any anti-copying protections. Very cool. Joined by John Johansson, the Norwegian programmer responsible for distributing DVD Cracking Code late in 1999, the programmers say Pi Music software is the fair interface for iTunes, primarily aimed at allowing people who use Linux operating systems to purchase music from Apple's store. Well, that's cool. But with a Windows version of the software also available, it's likely to trigger a legal response from Apple, which has closely guarded access to its online music store and has depended on its copy protection software to gain rights to sell music online. The intent of the project was to be able to purchase files from iTunes Music Store. Notice they say purchase files from the iTunes Music Store. Brokius said, "I believe very firmly that the project is ethical and does nothing but good for the community at large." Now, so they weren't stealing music from Apple. They just made it so that people who run Linux can get it. Apple's comment? Well, Apple Computers has closed the security goal. Yeah, it's gone. Already gone. Apple's comment on the whole thing was later. I'm going to link to another story that there it goes. Apple Computer has now, 2 days later, closed the security hole that allowed an underground program to tap into an iTunes music store and purchase songs stripped of anti-piracy protection. So we didn't actually affect the music. We just took off some of the crap. The Pi Music software created by a trio, blah, 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 blah. Apple released a statement Monday saying the problem had been fixed and some iTunes customers would need to upgrade their software. The security hole in iTunes Music Store, which was recently exploited, has been closed. As a consequence, the iTunes Music Store will now only sell music to customers with iTunes version 4.7, the company said in a statement. So, that's interesting. You know, we have this anti-piracy stuff. We make a program that enables, and these are like 3 17-year-old kids, make a program that enables us to purchase music without the copyright protection. And so, you know, iTunes comes back and they, you know, get rid of the security hole, allows us to do that. And Fi Music dies and falls by the wayside. And iTunes honestly believes, in the core of their being, that this is going to stop what they're trying to do. Dudes, you're wasting your time. It's not going to work. Jesus, the horse will be beaten as long as it is recognizable as such, eh? You know, why don't you just recognize the aspect of sharing music helps everyone? You now have the most rapid advertising system known to man. People in the computer underground know about decent music before anyone else. Why? Because we communicate, because we can share this music. And all of us who are music fans will buy the original album. This is how it works. I don't understand why they won't do it. Like, think about it. Now, everyone listening, even if you're like some music industry, you know, marketing, you know, soulless fuck, before you gave up your life and you know, became a corporate sellout, I'm sure that somewhere back in history in your teenage years, before you lost all your idealism, you were a fan of some type of music or movie. This is pretty, I'd say that's a pretty generalized statement. Everybody's been a fan of something. Now, when you're a fan of something, what do? You buy the best copy of it you can. That's why, you know, I've got the Matrix box set. That's why I have the limited edition Ghost in the Shell stuff. Why? Because I'm a drooling, raving fanboy of that kind of stuff. Now, if you're a fan, you will buy it. And the fans don't just buy the little wimpy-dimpy ones. They buy the really heavy-duty, you know, limited edition, pay $20 more for the plastic bauble ones. Because that's what fans do. Evidence? I give you Star Trek. The entire genre. You got guys with putting makeup on and hanging out. I mean, the people learning the Klingon language, for crying out loud. Why? Because they're fans. Okay, so, you know, your greed is making it so that you don't want to take advantage of this advertising. You got to look at pros and cons. I know I rant about this a lot, but wow, you know, I just wish these guys would clue in. And of course, you know, something that gets me is those of us who've been, you know, cursed to work in the fast food industry, from time to time. You'll always see this. Or you'll be in a lineup. You'll see this. You know, I'd like a Big Mac, supersized fries, and make that a Diet Coke. Well, you know, hey, guy, why don't you just go for the straight-up Coke? That way your brain doesn't turn into sponge, and you might have a chance of realizing that maybe you shouldn't be eating this fast food. But, you know, when you get these companies that come out with these dietary products, you'd hope that at least the dietary products live up to what they say to be. And I thought there was something about truth in advertising. You know, I thought there was some kind of truth in advertising laws, but apparently since the news can lie to us, and there's no laws on the books anywhere to prevent the news from lying to us, don't believe me, go see the film The Corporation. They talk about that in detail in there. But it seems that the diet cereal, because there's a bunch of sugar, you know, the Frosted Coated Sugar Bomb cereals that are out there. Well, they put out the you know, Frosted Coated Sugar Bombs Light, which apparently has less calories, right? It's supposed to be healthier for you. Well, if you read the box, the cereal isn't, it doesn't do anything. It's still just as bad as the non-diet cereal. It's just a marketing ploy. Cereal makers are touting the latest sugar-reduced versions of their popular breakfast fare, but experts say the cereals aren't any healthier than the originals. Now, this kind of stuff really pisses me off. Because there's moms and dads who are single moms, single dads, or maybe they're just working like slaves because, you know, inflation's out of control, blah, 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 and they don't have time to listen to this show, which is why, you know, the WOGs of the universe burn the shows to disk and give them to underprivileged parents. Experts reviewed the low-sugar versions of six major brands of sweetened cereals at the request of the Associated Press. They found that they have no significant nutritional advantages over the full sugar counterparts. Nutritional scientists at five universities found that the new cereals do have less sugar. True. But the calories, carbohydrates, fat, fiber, and other nutrients are almost identical to the full sugar cereals. That's because sugar's been replaced with refined carbohydrates to preserve the crunch. Cereal company officials are merely responding to parents' demands for their products with less sugar, and they aren't claiming these cereals are any healthier. Oh, I see. So it's purposely misleading then. The cereals reviewed by the experts were low sugar versions of General Mills, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, and Fruit Loops, General Mills, Cocoa Puffs, and Trix, and Post Fruity Pebbles. I really like Fruity Pebbles too, unfortunately. Only the Cinnamon Toast Crunch saw a true calorie reduction, dropping from 130 calories to 120 per 3/4 cup of a serving. So you lose 10 calories. Big deal. The experts said that other cereals all had the same number of calories per serving as their more sugary counterparts. So, for those of you out there, because as we all know, Hacker Chow, cereal is very good. You go, get it, throw it in a bowl. And if you're thinking that you're going to get, you know, the reduced sugar version, don't do it. Get the sugar version. Because it doesn't do anything more or less for you. At least with sugar, you get a bit of a rush, eh? Versus the carbs. I wonder if that works like that. Don't know enough about biology. I'll have to get back to you on that one. And we've got a story about some new biometrics in Germany, which I think that Germany, of all countries, should be probably a little bit more resistant to biometrics, but looks like I'm wrong. Customers of a German supermarket chain, a whole chain, will soon be able to pay for their shopping by placing their fingers on a scanner at the checkout, saving time spent scrabbling for coins or cards. Now, you know, for those of us out there who, you know, don't take the cards, you know, do you have a Safeway Club card? No, I don't. Do you want to save? No, I don't want to save a Club card. Well, I have a Safeway. No, I don't want to use your Safeway Club card either. I just want to buy the bread here and leave. That's what I want to do. I've done that. I've been looked at like I got a toaster on my head because I didn't want to use your goddamn card. Okay. Now, at some point, it's understandable from, you know, the sane people of the world who, you know, have been brainwashed that they, you know, would just accept that they have to carry around this card now. You know, we got a wallet full of cards. No cash, just cards. These little, your papers to shop at the store. But, you know, there's those people who say, well, there's no big deal about that. It's like a coupon, only different. Okay, well, at what point will people begin to freak out? Like, I wonder when we start scanning fingerprints and people go, whoa, dude, I'm not giving you my fingerprints. Or will we just la, 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 scan? You know, is that what's going to happen? Because this scares the hell out of me. I'm just, you know, the time spent for scrabbling for coins or cards, what? And you can bet that all their shopping purchases are tracked by, like, oh, my God. At Edeka, that's the name of the store in Germany, I guess. Edeka store in the southwest German town of Rulzheim has piloted the technology since November, and now the company plans to equip stores across the region. All customers need to do is register once with their identity card and bank details. Oh my God. Then they can shop straight away, said the store manager, Roland Fitter. The scanner compares the shopper's fingerprint with those stored in this database, along with account details. I hope that database is really secure and is in no way plugged into anything that is plugged into the internet on any way, shape, and form, because, you know, hilarity will ensue. The scanner compares shopper's fingerprint with those stored in this database, along with account details. EDCA bosses say they were confident the system could not be abused. You were confident, eh? What are you basing that confidence on? Because you're a grocery store supervisor! You don't know nothing about databases or biometrics, you fucking twit! Jeez, that pisses me off. But whatever, you know, oh yeah, it's secure, no problems. Like to see what kind of physical security they've got on this, you know, database in the supermarket. I'm sure that's locked down real good. You know, this is an extremely bad idea for 1000.com, Alex. And furthermore, I'm all for, you know, enhancement of technology, but do we really need to have fingerprint scanners in the supermarket? No, we don't. But luckily, it hasn't got to the point where we all have to use it yet, and I would encourage everyone to just, you know, abstain from the biometrics. Now, here's some good news. Hackers are striking back. This is a great story. Swedish anti-piracy agency servers hacked by a Swedish hacker collective named of traitor in recent raid against the Bauhof ISP unveiled. This was on the 13th. Late on Sunday night, the Swedish anti-piracy agency servers were hacked again, this time with a clear purpose to disclose the agency's ugly methods. The hacker collective, Arga Unga Hackar, Angry Young Hackers, who are remembered as the ones who hacked the agency's website 2 years ago, have published mail correspondence which shows proof of infiltrators in the file-sharing scene. Basically, Angry Young Hackers have accessed everything passing Swedish anti-piracy agency's servers, says a person with good knowledge about the Swedish piracy scene. But actually what they wrote there was people with God knowledge of the Swedish piracy scene, which is good. I like God knowledge better. The reason for publishing this is to mainly avoid further damages by the agency. This is total Shadowrun espionage stuff. The published material shows clearly that a hacker collective have had access to a large amounts of secret information. The main goal has been to publish the name of a person acting as an infiltrator on the raid against Bahnhof last week. So they found out there was a mole, they dug in, they got a hold of the data, they found out who the mole was, and posted it. According to the pirate agency's sources, this person is, until date, the biggest traitor in the history of piracy. He has shown a deep engagement in the pirate scene and then sold the anti-pirates out to the major companies. Now, you know, at some point, you have to kind of declare allegiances. And there's a lot of people in the hacker scene who say, no, I am my own country, I make my own laws, and I will do whatever is best for me, blah, blah, blah. You know, totally doing the rogue state thing and all the rest of it. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine. But you better pick a side. You know, pretty soon here, you better see on who you're going to, you know, camp with, because it gets pretty lonely out there on the web. And if you start, this guy's really screwed up. Whoever this guy was, he really dropped the ball, because you know that the corporations don't give a crap. Okay, they won't care about you, because they're only there for one thing, money. And if you want to deal with the devil, that's fine. You know, they'll pay you your cash, and then, you know, they won't do anything for you. At least within the hacker scene, there is some community. It cannot be denied that there is some community. Okay, the Newsreel show, there's community there for sure. I see it every day. I get email from people, the rant community, the community at large. And there's probably more people who are quote-unquote hackers that, you know, download the show and listen to it because, well, we have an understanding. This is the standard bearer of a particular set of beliefs in a movement. And it serves as a bit of an anchor. So it can be said that there are communities. There are real communities. And there are, I know people who've gotten married because of rant. I know people that have had all sorts of relationships. I know businesses that have started. So you cannot be denied that this is, in fact, a community. Now, when you betray a community like that, when you get involved and you go, well, blah, you know, yeah, that's your right to do that. But everyone remembers that you did that. And then if you ever wind up in the shit, you're going to be left out to dry, man. You're going to be left out hung and let on fire because no one's going to care because you sold out a whole bunch of people. This is why when I get ticked off at people, you know, when they do stuff, I don't try to, you know, get vengeful on them. I don't try to flame them or whatever. I just write their name down and then I write it off so that I know I'll have nothing to do with those people again. That's the best way to do it. And some people say that, well, you know, because when you're angry, it's nice to get vengeful, but it doesn't do nothing. And when you seek vengeance, you dig two graves. is different when the whole capital punishment thing. Because people go, well, Sean, you know, you're a big fan of capital punishment. Isn't that vengeance? No, no, no. You kill people with capital punishment so you protect innocents from being struck by them again. Totally different. But anyway, according to the Pirates Agency sources, this person is, until date, the biggest traitor in the history of piracy. That's a hell of a statement. And so whoever this guy is, okay, you know that he's going to be known worldwide as the biggest scumbag sellout in the history of piracy. What an asshole. The same sources talk about large amount of money being paid by the industry in exchange for information. Oh, good. Transactions of at least 100,000 SEC, $15,000 US, has been unveiled, which were used to pay for the servers then seized by the authorities last week. The story is covered by Sweden's largest newspaper, Aftonbladet, which I'm sure I'm screwing that up, but there it is. Now, that's wild, man. That is one of the most Shadowrun stories I've ever seen. We've got a group of hackers locks onto an anti-hacking agency, owns their servers, finds out who sold them out, and then, posts it on the web. Wow, I've never seen nothing like that before. That's amazing. Very, very cool. And, of course, there's more strikes going against the Brits. Yes, it seems that the movie industry has decided to really take on more of the poor guys across the pond. A second British movie-oriented website owner has been threatened with legal action by U.S. movie studios for allegedly offering their films as BitTorrent downloads without their permission. Kevin Reed, who runs the bdspalace.co.uk, was last week given notice that Paramount, 20th Century Fox, Universal, and Warner Brothers intended to name him in a lawsuit. They intended to name him in a lawsuit filed last December with the U.S. District Court of New Jersey, which claims significant numbers of pirate movies were made available through his site. They don't even have a number. The studio's representative, Matthew J. Oppenheim, I love this guy, a partner with Washington, D.C.'s law firm Jenner & Block, informed Reed by letter that the studios will formally name Brighton in the suit unless he avails himself of, quote, an opportunity to settle the claims. So, you know what? Hey, guy, here's extortion for you. Yeah, either pay us the money or we're going to use some of the biggest names in the world on a nasty, evil, possessed law firm to sue your ass through the floor unless you just give us money. Reed's situation matches that of Alexander Hanf, the owner of UK site DVR Core, which was also on the receiving end of a threatening missives from the U.S. movie industry last week, as we exclusively revealed. You know, they're lucky that they only pick on guys who are, like, married and have something to lose. Because if there was people who weren't married and had nothing to lose, what's to say they just wouldn't be like, screw you, guy, I'm just going to run it and run. Both Reed and Hanf deny endorsing and facilitating the sharing of unauthorized copies of movies through their sites. David Harris, a lawyer specializing in intellectual property information technology issues at ukitlaw.com, who is representing both Reed and Hanf, told the Register today that the two didn't host illegal content, he said, and when notified that they were posting links to unlawful BitTorrent downloads, they acted promptly to remove those links from BitTorrent, or from their site. BitTorrent has lawful uses. Both sides contain links to legitimate BitTorrent-hosted content. So actually, they're suing them because of hyperlinking is what they're suing them for, and that is some scary stuff. That cannot be allowed, and I hope these guys win. Now, here's an interesting story. Give me my DNA back. In Wichita, Kansas, police hunting for the BTK serial killer. Now, they nailed this guy. Okay, sick son of a bitch who, you know, bound, torture, kill. That was his whole big thing. Which, I don't even want to try to get near the headspace and timing of someone who do something like that. But police hunting for the BTK serial killer kicked down Roger Valdez's door and went in with their guns drawn. Okay, so they thought he was the BTK killer. They handcuffed the Wichita man, then took a sample of DNA from both his mouth with a swab. They probably had a warrant. The swab proved that Valdez was not the BTK. Now he wants the DNA destroyed, and he wants some answers about why the police took it in the first place. Well, it's pretty obvious why they took it in the first place. They wanted to see whether or not he was a serial killer, which I can say, you know, if they got a warrant, they got to make sure they got to have some method to find these guys. The genetic sample taken on December 1st as police searched and seized items from Valdez's home was one of 1,300 tested during the BTK investigation, making it one of the biggest DNA sweeps ever in the United States. So they swept 1,300 people. Holy cow. But authorities arrested Dennis Rader and accused him of 10 BTK slayings. It came as a when they arrested Dennis Rader, it came as a result of old-fashioned police work. So are they saying, oh, yeah, we'll just start sweeping and harvesting DNA from everyone and claiming it's for criminal investigations? And if you don't have any criminal wrongdoing, why should you object? Civil rights advocates say investigation is the latest example of a DNA dragnet that failed to get its man. As the case has unfolded, it proves our basic point of our report. The mass swabbing is really unproductive. Actually, that's if the mass swabbing is used in criminal investigations. But I put it to you that if you have 1,300 suspects, okay, simple police work will tell you that you have to narrow that down. Now, it's probably expensive to go get this DNA swabbing done, I imagine. Very expensive. I would say that police work, which would decrease that number, would be less expensive. So why did they go for the more expensive obvious option? Obviously, it's to increase the DNA database. It's brilliant, really, when you think about it. You know, they walk through, farm everyone for the DNA, and then say later, oh, well, you know, we got the right guy. So see, it works. Isn't that good? But now we've got all your DNA in a database, but now this one guy wants it back. As the case has unfolded, it proves our basic point of our report. The mass swabbing is really unproductive. This is not how they caught the guy, says Sam Walker, a University of Nebraska Omaha professor who has conducted a national study of DNA sweeps. Police arrested Rader last month shortly after the BTK killer sent a computer disc to a Wichita television station. Rader's pastor said the police traced the disc to a church where Rader was council president. Jesus. It was the church. Religion made him the killer. Valdez, who was arrested on minor housing violations after the December raid, which is another thing that happens too. If you get investigated like that on that level, they will try to nail you for everything they possibly can. And bear in mind, Valdez was innocent. He didn't do anything. But could you imagine being arrested at work and say, what's this for? Oh, we think he's the BTK killer. Holy crap. Even when you come back innocent, how are you going to shake that? Oh, they thought he was a serial killer. Valdez is asking the court to order his DNA sample destroyed and its profile purged from any database. Good luck. Won't happen. He is also after an explanation from the authorities as to why they barged into his home with a search warrant for his DNA. Now, if he was one of 10 people, I'd be like, whatever, dude. We thought you were with a guy. But 1,300? A court hearing is set for April 1. Now that they claim the search for BTK is over, we cannot see any reason for them to continue to conceal from Roger Valdez why they were looking in his house and in his mouth for the BTK, said Dan Monette, Valdez's attorney. So they want to see the evidence that put him on the list. Monette warned, DNA information is maybe the most intimate information about a person. There is no reason for that information to be unnecessarily in the government's files. Who knows what future uses the 21st century will find for DNA? And that's a very good point. You got to think of it that way. Sometimes you have to stand back and go, whoa, maybe I don't want my DNA in some massive government databases so that they can line me up for the camps. What camps? We don't know. They're coming. Wait out. Scares me. Scares me a lot. And, of course, adding to the Dark City sort of motif of our reality, we have some more black ice, but this one is for spammers. So, you know, you may or may not like it, but I'm just showing the massive aggression that's coming now from internet programs. IBM unveiled a service Tuesday that sends unwanted emails back to spammers who sent them. And I don't mean just their email. The new IBM service, known as Fair Use, not to be confused with Fair Ice, essentially uses a giant database to identify computers that are sending spam. Emails coming from a computer on the spam databases are sent directly back to the computer, not just the email account that sent them. So it could actually be called kind of a denial of service. Spam has become a high-priority security issue for business state. Stuart McCurvin, IBM's Director of Corporate Security Strategy, said in a prepared statement, by creating a multi-layered defense that protectively repels spam at its source, companies can get ahead of spammers and malicious hackers who are always looking for new ways of penetrating IT systems through email. IBM said, so we've got like a reactive barrier shield now. Wow, this is pretty hot. IBM said the new solution effectively minimizes the growing threats of phishing and spoofing, tactics used to trick people into disclosing information that can lead to identity theft. The company said its Fair Use spam technology will allow customers to identify incoming spam before it gums up their systems. Also, IBM said its anti-spam technology will alleviate the need for content filtering, which heavily taxes IT systems, siphoning off bandwidth otherwise used for business purposes. But, you know, regardless of this, that's quite clearly an offensive program. I mean, that is, like, offensive meaning that it is meant to attack. We got counter-battery going on here. That's what that is. That is shoot back. If that isn't shoot back, I don't know what is. That's very much shoot back. That is very, very much the kind of thing that you would see as a demon in Cyberpunk. That's totally it. I mean, you can't tell me it's not. So my question is can we get an open source version of that? Because, hell, I'll use that. I'm sure Sim will use it. He hates spam. With a burning passion, I might add. And everyone knows now, great story here. We got some good news today. I'm really happy about this. We got some positive news to get you through the week here. It being hump day and all. Patriots to restore checks and balances. This is a great movement. I think everybody should get behind this if you happen to be in the United States. I am one of those people not in the United States. I'm in Canada. Na-na-na-na-na. The American Civil Liberties Union said today that it has joined forces with the several conservative organizations to fix the most extreme provisions of what the Patriot Act. Yes, a way we can attack this thing. Some of which are scheduled to sunset or expire at the end of the year. Ahaha, this is good stuff. Don't forget, the Patriot Act could sunset or expire at the end of the year. So we have to make sure it does that. Former Congressman Bob Barr, a Republican from Georgia, will chair the new group. A Republican going against the Patriot Act. Holy crap. Patriots to Restore Checks and Balances, which include Americans for Tax Reform, the American Conservative Union, and others. They're all part of this thing. Commitment to America's freedoms transcends any political ideology, says Laura W. Murphy, director of the ACLU Washington Legislative Office. I mean, this is pretty positive stuff. You got Republicans and Democrats getting together to fight the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act went way too far, way too fast, and now is the time to determine what freedoms have been unnecessarily lost due or in the name of national security. Now is the time for Congress to restore those freedoms. You're damn right. This is great. The new organization is urging Congress to thoroughly review the most intrusive and constitutionally suspect provisions of the Patriot Act, specifically the act that allows federal agents to gather highly personal information, including library, medical, and gun purchase records. Library records? Since when is reading suspect? Without criminal suspicion, permits secret searches of homes and businesses with indefinite notification, and expands the definitions of domestic terrorism to potentially include political protest. So you protest, you're a terrorist. This is all in the Patriot Act. Wonderful, wonderful document. And in the Patriot Act, too, it states that me doing what I do, where I gather information and then give it to the world for free, everyone all over the world, if I was an American, I could be charged with terrorism for doing this. Now, I might be accused of being a bad newscaster, and I definitely am. You know, my English skills and writing, my imagination skills are mighty and not to be trifled with, and I will step Kung Fu Octagon with anyone who thinks otherwise, but my actual English literary skills are hurting, and I recognize that, and I'll concede that. Thank you very much for everyone who helps me. But, realistically, I am not a terrorist. It could be said that my intent is to make the world a better place. Yet, by the Patriot Act 2, I would be quite clearly and easily defined as a terrorist. Very, very scary. Checks and balances are absolutely essential, even and especially during times of threat. Otherwise, everything gets way over the top and everybody loses the whole reason why we think America is great. Barr said, our message is universal. Liberty is not divisible, even in the face of terrorism, and we must not allow any part of it to be sacrificed in our efforts to defeat acts of terrorism. And you got to bear in mind, look at countries that have lived with real terrorism for a long time. Like, during the Second World War, when Britain was being bombed into the Stone Age, you know what their motto was? Business as usual. They didn't lock everything down. Sure, there was increased security, but they didn't freak out and start locking everything up and, going all crazy and swabbing in 1,300 people at a time for DNA. That wasn't something that happened. It was business as usual. In Israel, when a pizzeria gets blown up and there's a cafe across the street that had all its windows broken, the next day people made a point of going to that cafeteria to show the terrorists that they would not be intimidated by their bullshit bombs. You see how that works? By not being afraid, you defeat terrorists. Don't get afraid of terrorists. Beat the terrorists by not being terrified. You understand? The whole goal of terrorism is to scare the shit out of everybody. That's what they're trying to do. So if you show that you're not afraid of them, they lose power. I mean, this isn't really really brain, enhancing stuff to figure this out, but I don't know why anyone else is saying this. And we have yet another reason for day-to-day for you to wear gloves, especially if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. It seems that there's a new type of fingerprinting technology available. University of California scientists working at Los Alamos National Laboratory have developed a novel method for detecting fingerprints based on the trace chemical elements presented in fingerprint residue, known as micro X-ray fluorescent. How long before this shows up on CSI or MXRF? The technique has the potential to help expand the use of fingerprinting as a forensic investigation tool. In research presented last week at the 229th National Meeting of American Chemical Society in San Diego, California, Los Alamos scientist Christopher Worley describes the detection of fingerprints based on elemental composition using micro X-ray fluorescences, showing how the salts such as sodium chloride and potassium chloride excreted in sweat are sometimes present in detectable quantities in the human fingerprints. The MXRF actually detects the sodium, potassium, and chlorine elements presented in those salts, as well as many other elements, if they are present. The elements are detected as a function of their location on the surface, making it possible to see a fingerprint, whereas the salts have been deposited in a pattern of the fingerprint lines called friction ridges by forensic scientists. That's really cool. Because, don't get me wrong, I want to see people who are actually criminals put in jail. People who break the law and are hurting people and who are a threat to society. Yes, go to jail. Thanks for coming out, go to jail. BTK killer, thank you. You get to go to jail and die. You know, that's just me. Sorry. And you know what the funny thing is? Speaking of this, corporal punishment, all these people freaking out about torture overseas, you know? I love this. We're in a time of war, dealing with a culture, an extremist culture, who views all of Americans as the great white Satan. And you know, that's not propaganda. Okay, there are Muslim extremists who feel that just the act of being white and American, you are, in fact, the great enemy. And they will kill as many of you as they can get their hands on. Okay? You don't even have the right to defend yourself. There's no rights with this crowd. Okay? They are the bad guys. I mean, the Nazis. Okay, the Nazis and it's questionable. The Nazis were more organized and they did more damage in the long term. But realistically, I mean, I put these Muslim extremists right in there with these guys. I mean, they're really batshit bonkers. And the Nazis were a cult. They had a lot of occultism going on there. But they weren't specifically religiously based. Whereas these Muslim extremists are religiously based. And that gives us fanaticism that is just frightening. Frightening. So people, you know, of course, they get all upset when the CIA grabs some of these nuts who are sworn, blood oath, to kill as many Americans as they can. They get upset when the CIA grabs them, jacks them with some drugs, slaps them around to get some information. Yet the same people don't even talk about how many Americans are raped by other Americans in prison every day. Now, I marvel at this. Our prisons in America, everybody knows when you go to jail, you get raped. This is like a joke now, okay? I don't think rape is funny. I don't think raping of prisoners is funny. I don't think it's funny when a guy goes to jail for some blue-collar crime, gets held down and raped. I don't think that's really hilarious. So before we worry about other countries, why don't we sort out what's going on in our own country first? Just sort of a personal guideline. I just wonder where the complaints are about that. That's all, you know, just as a sort of a side note. Going on to some new tech now. Now, everybody knows, I've been publishing bits of new tech, especially vehicles. I'm really into extreme, cool-looking vehicles, anything that's cyberpunk. And I think I got my love for that from the old Max Hedren episode. Anybody see that Max Hedren episode with the Rakers? They were the guys who used to fight in pits, and they had, like, steak knives on the back of their hands, and they would motorized skateboards that at the time were called motoboards, and they would, like, go back and forth in this bowl and like, fight with these steak knives on the back of their fists and slash each other up. Fantastic stuff. Really, really good stuff. If you haven't had a chance to check out the Rakers episode of Max Hedren, good stuff. So because of that, I always like really cool, small, urban, maneuverable vehicles, especially all these, you know, two-stroke cycle engine type stuff that's come out. There's been a bunch of them. And I found another one called a roller cycle, and I got a link to it because it's neat. You can buy it. It's real. The roller cycle, a personal power accelerator, puts you on the cutting edge of inline skating and skateboarding with 1.5 horsepower engine propelling you safely up to 25 miles per hour. The roller cycle will take you easily over any terrain. Make no mistake, it is a workout. Now, this thing, what it is, to describe it to you, looks like an engine with one tire. And you put it behind you when you're wearing rollerblades, and you sort of sit in this weird kind of apparatus that has brakes and everything. And it's kind of like you're the front of a chariot, and this wheel spins and propels you along in your rollerblades. And they got some video footage of the site. This guy doing like 25 miles per hour, or I don't know what that'd be, like 30, like 40 clicks an hour on a in a field beside a road, and he's like going up and over meridians and all sorts of stuff. It's wild stuff, man. Really cool. The roller cycle's unique full-body cardiovascular workout will invigorate you, or it'll smear you into a pap sample on a lamppost somewhere. The force generated by roller cycle travels from your rear through your torso to your feet. This action not now only works out your arms as you hold the roller cycle, but forces traveling through your body works your abdominal leg muscle groups as you travel up to 25 miles an hour. You skate along with roller cycle, adds exercise to help your respiratory system. So they're selling it as a workout item, which it's very cool and has a lot of applications, but I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it a workout item. But still, nice try, and it's real, so go check that out. Very, very neat, and the video's cool anyway. Now, here's some more identity theft for those of you who think, you know, that all these databases are safe, which is yet another reason why I don't like biometrics. Hackers gained personal information of 59,000 people affiliated with California University, a university. The latest string of high-profile cases of identity theft. Hackers gained access to the names and social security numbers of students and alumni to California State University, Chico. So if you're an alumni and you graduated from the University of State of California State University, Chico, you might want to check into that, because they say that they've notified nearly all the affiliates, but, you know, that might be bullshit. The university discovered the attacks during routine monitoring of its networks. The investigation revealed that hackers installed software to store the files on the system and tried to break into other computers, but they don't know whether or not they did. Obviously, they did, because they gained access to one computer, so let's assume that you're totally compromised. Identity theft is considered one of the nation's fastest-growing crimes. Earlier this year, 145,000 people were exposed by a breach at ChoicePoint, which collects consumer data. And, of course, you know, I reported on that as well. But, you know, identity theft is a scary thing, and this is a reason why you don't want to give. You know, if you're looking for a reason why you don't give corporations your personal information, that's the reason, because the corporations can't hold on to it. And then if you don't give anyone your identity information, you can't really be nailed for identity theft, can you? So when ChoicePoint gets nailed with a... like, you don't really think of these numbers, you know? I mean, 59,000 people. That's a shitload of people, man. And ChoicePoint did 145,000, three times as many. I mean, it's just two events that we've heard about. How many events have gone undetected by hackers who know what the hell they're doing? Because as we all know, a good hack, you can't detect. Scary, man. Very, very scary. But in the realm of scary, few things come close to the City Snoop program. Now, back in the summer of 2003, there was a little story in the Village Voice on the Pentagon's plan to track everything that moves in a city. Now, I might have talked about this, but I don't know. Since then, there hasn't been much of a word from the Defense Department about the Combat Zones That See, or CTS, is what they call this program. Now, this is some interesting stuff. A planned demonstration at Fort Belvoir never came about, or it was kept super quiet. Last year, Congress moved to yank funds from the program's budget, so they tried to shut this thing down. But now, CTS may be on the way back if Tony Tether, the head of the Defense Department's far-out research arm, DARPA, has his way. So DARPA's trying to get this thing back on the books. The agency's proposed 2006 budget calls for a $20 million over 3 years for this CTS system. It's part of an expanded $340 million push by DARPA to develop technologies for urban battles. Here's what Tether told the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee last week about this system. Now, this is good stuff, because he's asking for the money. I'd like to know if he gets it. He says to the Senate, he said that we need a network or web of sensors to better map a city that has activities in it, including inside buildings, to sort adversaries and their equipment from civilians and their equipment, including in crowds, and to spot snipers, suicide bombers, or IEDs, improvised explosive devices. We need to watch a great variety of things, activities, and people over a wide area, and have a great resolution available when we need it. Now, this is total surveillance of a city. This is not just a matter of more or better sensors, but just as important, the systems need to make actionable intelligence out of all of that data. This is, without a doubt, the Big Brother surveillance system. Closely related to this is tagging, tracking, and locating TTNL systems that can help us watch and track particular persons or objects of interest. These systems will also help us detect the clandestine production or possession of weapons of mass destruction in overseas urban areas. For that matter, anything else they want. There was a recent incident in Iraq where one of our UAVs, one admiral vehicle, spotted some insurgents firing a mortar. Then the insurgents climbed back into their car and drove away. The good news was the UAV was able to track the car so U.S. helicopters could go after and destroy it. Wow. Wouldn't want to be in that car. The bad news was that at one point some of the passengers got out. Then we had to decide whether to follow those individuals in the car because we simply did not have enough coverage available. If we had other sensors available, we'd have a better chance of getting all those insurgents. If we could quickly track back where a vehicle came from, it would be a greatly help to us to deal with suicide car bombers. It is difficult, if not impossible, to deter bombers themselves, just as you cannot deter a missile that has already been launched. That's an interesting scenario where they're making people having no free choice. You'll notice that. But one key to deterrence has been missing is reliable attribution or return address. If we knew where the car came from using, for example, RSTA, Reconnaissance, Surveillance, and Target Acquisition System that allows us to quickly trace the car carrying the explosive back to the houses or shop it came from, then we could attack that place and those people. And that's the last of what he said to the Senate, but that's an interesting point there. The CTS is one of a bunch of DARPAN urban ops programs that skates the fine line between creepy and cool. Now, that's from Defense Review. That's where this link takes you. And Defense Review is about as extreme as it gets. And they're saying it's creepy. What does that tell you? Now, today's Daily Hacks, I got two of them. Both of them are peer-to-peer in lieu of all these lawsuits that are floating around. Some file-sharing goodness of credence. Much of the content for peer-to-peer file-sharing networks is corrupt, damaged, or mislabeled. Such pollution content makes it difficult to correctly functioning peers to locate desired content, decreasing overall usefulness of the network. Credence is a distributed object reputation management scheme that counteracts content pollution in peer-to-peer file-sharing systems. Very cool. Check that out. And as well, smash, the RIA. Everyone should run this all the time. I just installed this. Very, very cool. It is an outgoing firewall block list for all the known bad guys, RIA, MPAA, etc. And that one is called, I got a link there. For some reason, I deleted the name of the program. Peer Guardian. That's the name of it, Peer Guardian. So Peer Guardian creates a list of all the nasty IP addresses so that the RIA and MPAA cannot actually nail you. I downloaded and installed this myself, and I think it is a good deal. And just for good measure, I've also included a link on how to build a solar death ray. This is all I have for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the news and information you need to stay alive. And this has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those people willing to fight against the core political tyranny. And they are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Four Elite, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, Weblife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host, Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. And the new subscribers this month. And subscribers are the people who donate money every month to make sure that this can stay on the air. And they are Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Thank you so much, guys. You have no idea how much that helps. And if you would like to help out and help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Also, as well, if you get anything out of any of these news broadcasts, like if you've downloaded or if you've listened to the program and you learned something and that has helped you in a positive way, I want to know about it. I want to know stories of how Newsreel has helped you, and I can put that out on the web for people because I'd like to know. Special thanks to some hard net runners who got me this data today: Astrofix, Sylvanus, PolySci, Druid Y, Simru, Tenfold, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Dead Code, Bonsai Poppy, Tech Freak, Psychofish, Wanadi, No Delete, and Soab. No digital baptisms today, but if you'd like a digital baptism, email me, and I will get you an online name that doesn't suck. And thanks again to everyone for gathering their assistance and data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories or stories of how Newsreel has helped you, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album April Skies by a band called Dine Lakeen. And I probably screwed that name up, but you can link to it, and I got a link straight to the album. Check it out. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Let's go. Ready? From the top. favorite shows on TV have 12 minutes of advertising. I can't get behind that kind of time.
Eat quickly, drive faster, make more money now. I can't get behind that.
My kids say, he said to me, and I'm like, and he's like, and she's like,
it's all he's all, she's all.
I can't get behind that kind of, like, English. That'll be 6 to 8 weeks before delivery.
The rising oceans, the warming temperatures.
The dying polar bears, no tigers in 50 years.
Rising poison in the air and water.
I can't understand why the price of gas suddenly rises when oil goes up.
But takes months to go down long after oil falls.
I can't get behind any of that. I can't get behind the gods, who are more vengeful, angry, and dangerous if you don't believe in them.
Why can't all these gods just get along? I mean, they're omnipotent and omnipresent. What's the problem?
What's the problem? What about the men who say, do as I do? Believe in what I say for your own good, or I'll kill you! I can't get behind that!
I can't get behind that! Everybody knows everything about all of us!
That's too much knowledge!
I can't get behind that!
Student drivers using my streets to learn. If you learn to play the drums, you gotta go to a studio. Go to a parking lot, for God's sake! Why are you jeopardizing my life? I can't get behind a student driver.
I can't get behind a driver who drives like a student driver. If you're gonna drive an urban assault vehicle, then get off the phone and keep your eyes on the road.
Lifetime guarantee?
Whose lifetime? Not mine. I haven't that much time left. Let's make it yours. Everybody's got a longer life than me. The leaf blowers. Is there anything more futile?
Car alarms.
Clap off.
Clap on.
Spam.
Size matters.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it
no,
does.
It doesn't. No,
yes,
it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
My
yes, it
phone
does.
Rings.
Make millions in minutes.
It's a computer.
Lose inches in hours.
Leave me the hell alone.
Eat more. Spend less.
The colonel is breakdancing. Give me a break.
Credit terms arranged.
I can't get behind any of that. I can't get behind so-called singers. They can't carry a tune. Get paid for talking. How easy is that? Well, maybe I could get behind that.
Well, I can't. If you have to fix it with a computer, quantized, pitch-corrected, nobly inspected, then you can't do it. And I can't get behind that.
I can't get behind a fat ass.
Yeah. Bill, can you turn around and do one more?
Always can do one more.
Let's hit it.